Christmas, everybody. Not too shabby. Let's say it one more time. Merry Christmas. Yes. All right. So we come together here today to celebrate Jesus coming to earth in the form of a babe, and we have Christmas together as a community like this. And I think it's awesome. We actually have another service after this at 1 o'clock, so it's good to have you here at the 11:30. Who thinks we should shift our service times to 11:30 and 1 o'clock? Anybody? It's kind of awesome being able to sleep in today. It's like, all right, this is pretty good. I like this. Well, I'm glad you're here. As we're a part of Christmas, we come together as a community like this. I love Christmas, like pretty much everything about it. I love the music. I love the decorations. I love the presents. Who here loves the presents? It's kind of fun, right? Especially the receiving piece of presents. I mean, it's just awesome. But as I've kind of been in this kind of pastoring thing for about almost 20 years at Community Christian Church, I have learned that there really are two different kinds of Christmases that we experience. Even just through conversations that I've had with each of you as a part of this community and me in my own personal journey, I've realized that there are really two different kinds of Christmas. There's the Christmas that I want, and then there's the Christmas that I get. There's the Christmas that I want, and then there's the Christmas that I get. And the Christmas that I want, we'll say, is represented by this ornament. And the Christmas that I want, like every year, we have a little bit of a tradition that we've started, that when we come back from my parents from Thanksgiving, the Saturday, and Joey, you can go ahead and show that picture. The Saturday that we roll back, we take some Christmas cookies and we pull out the Christmas decorations from behind the pantry back in the storage area, and we pull out the tree, the pre-lit Christmas tree that has three rows of burnt-out lights on it. Oh my gosh, I hate those pre-lit Christmas trees. You think they're a good idea, but then you have the lights that burn out, right? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? And you just have to string it with more lights, and then you string it with more lights. If you look at our tree, I think more than half the lights are burnt out on it with the new lights on top of them. I'm pathetic, I know. Anyway, so we get the Christmas decorations out, and we take the Christmas cookies that Erin has put together, my wife. She's put together the Christmas cookie dough, and then we bake them, and then we put some icing on them, and it's awesome. Like, it's a great experience. My daughter takes great care and sensitivity for how a stocking is supposed to look. My oldest, Joey, takes a candy cane and icings it yellow and puts blue on top of it and says it represents Michigan. That's what he says, because he's for Michigan. Anyway, so Christmas, for me, is like a time of celebration and fun, tradition, laughter, and family. And it's the Christmas I want, right? But then, there's the Christmas that I get. Let's try this. The Christmas I get. I mean, the Christmas I get. It's the world that we live in that's threatened with the very real possibility of nuclear war. The Christmas I get is the world that includes the greatest refugee crisis of our generation. The Christmas I get is a nation filled with political division and racial tension. I mean, in 2017, the world is broken and fractured, and that is the Christmas that we get. And for many of us, the broken and fractured world is not just out there, it's in here. Some of us are not sure how we're going to pay for the Christmas we already bought, and we find ourselves flat broke. Some of us are not sure what our marriages or our families will look like in the new year. We're watching our most important relationships break apart. Some of us are struggling with illness and wonder how many more Christmases that we're going to have. Mentally and physically, we find ourselves broken. Some of us are stuck in the cycle of addiction and can't ever imagine the possibility of breaking free. Brokenness. That is the Christmas a lot of us get in 2017. And the first Christmas was a lot like this Christmas. There was the Christmas that you want. You have the angels singing in the sky. The shepherds were looking on adoringly. And there was a bright Christmas star shining in the sky. That's the Christmas that you want. But then there was also the Christmas that they got. An evil Roman Empire ruling with an iron fist, the poor being overly taxed and oppressed, and Mary and Joseph forced to flee as refugees, being hunted down by an evil king calling for a genocide. See, from the very first Christmas to the Christmas of 2017, there is the Christmas that you and I want. And then there's the Christmas that you and I get. In the midst of Christmas they wanted and the Christmas they got came the God that they needed. A God that entered into our time and space as a baby, as Jesus. The one that the prophet Isaiah foretold, called him the Prince of Peace, as we see there in Isaiah 9:6, kind of our focal text as we've been getting after this conversation, above all names. Isaiah says, and he will be called Prince of Peace. I mean, most of us know what prince means. Most of us think of the term prince and we think authority, royalty, son of a king. But what about peace? What about peace? What comes to mind when we think of peace? I mean, if we were to go around the room, we could probably come up with 100 different notions of what peace would look like to us. Because certainly as we think about our own stories, I'm sure there's probably not a person in this room that wouldn't love to have a peace that transcends all understanding. As we look at the original Hebrew of what Isaiah was describing, Jesus as the Prince of Peace, really this word peace, and you've heard us talk about this here before if you are a regular attender here, if you're here for the first time, when we talk about a peace, as we look to the Old Testament, and as we look to Isaiah as he describes the Prince of Peace, this word peace in Hebrew means shalom. Say shalom. And this shalom really is this kind of, this peace that's not just some sort of ethereal notion of a world in harmony. No, this shalom peace that we're talking about is something more. Because shalom means wholeness or completeness. It's the bringing together of everything that's broken. It's the mending of all things that's been fractured. It's the putting back together of shattered dreams. See, when Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, it means that he comes with all the authority and all the power to make all things right, to fix all things that are broken in this world. So in the middle of the Christmas they wanted and the Christmas they got, came the God that they needed. And Jesus actually told them, he says, "Peace I leave with you. Shalom, completeness, wholeness I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." See, here's the good news this Christmas Eve. Jesus not only came that first Christmas, but he's here today, right now, this Christmas. In the middle of the Christmas you want and the Christmas you got comes the God that you and I both need. And I'm telling you, if you'll say yes to him and allow him to be the Prince of your peace, he can give you that completeness, that wholeness, the shalom that we all need. See, I believe he can heal your broken heart. His peace can restore your shattered dreams. And he can, in fact, mend your fractured family. His peace can even unite a divided community, country, and world. Because the Prince of Peace comes this Christmas to bring peace, a peace that is for you, and that he wants to be able to work through you. In fact, I want to introduce you to a story of community, a tender at community named Eliza. And she attends community, and her life was not all that she wanted. Instead, it was the life that she got. Her life was like this broken ornament. But she found peace. Let's listen to Eliza's story.
My name is Eliza Olson. My husband and I have 4 kids, 3 grandkids, and I've been attending community now for over 10 years. When I was growing up, my father abused me. When I chose to start talking about it, my dad beat me up really bad. When my mother was told, she just sided with my dad, because he was able to convince her. And I was just a kid. My mom made me feel worthless, like I was nothing. I beat myself up like I was nothing. I did things I shouldn't do, you know, and so I became a ward of the state at the age of 16. My mom decided to sign me over if I would not press charges on my father, because to her, I had other siblings that still needed him, so she didn't care what happened to me.
Just really hurts because I really trusted my mom, you know. I just wanted just her to believe in me, and she didn't.
I started drinking at a really young age because that was one thing that I realized would numb everything from me. So The more I drank, the more it numbed it. Even though the next day it was still there, I would start drinking again, and alcohol became my best friend for a really long time. I would go to church and just ask God, you know, show me. Tell me how to do this. I don't know how to do this. Then I met, you know, my friends across the street and came to community, met John. Actually, when he was talking, it was like he was talking directly to me. I gotta say, that's when I really felt there was God. You know, when they were up there talking about, you know, why we get baptized and, you know, I was worshiping and, you know, I was looking up there and I was like, yeah, this would really be nice. Gosh, I wish I wouldn't have came all dialed up, you know, but they're looking at me going, they have everything here, Eliza. Everything, you just dab off. And I'm like, I do want this. I really do want this. Okay, going in that water and coming back out was so refreshing. It felt like the cleansing that went through my body was like, I didn't even want to go change because it felt so good being baptized. My life was broken till I met Jesus, till I let him in my life. Once I let him in, I found peace inside me, in my heart, and it's all thanks to Jesus and the peace that he has put in my heart.
I don't know what you're going through this Christmas. I don't know what broken pieces you're having to pick up and try put back together. But I believe that the Prince of Peace wants to do a miracle in your life. For some of us, it's shattered hopes. Maybe it's a job lost, ambitions unrealized, dreams unfulfilled. For some of us, it might be broken relationships, a friendship, a marriage, family. For others, it's our bodies. They feel old. They feel broken. Maybe overcome with illness and sickness. I don't know what you're going through this Christmas. But I do know that the Prince of Peace, he wants to bring you the same kind of peace that he was able to give Eliza when she found Jesus. And not only does God want to bring a peace to you, but he also wants to bring peace through you to the rest of the world. And maybe that's how it's supposed to work. Maybe true restoration comes to us as we give it away to others. And that this Prince of Peace, he said this to us in John 16. He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Because in this world you will have trouble. And then he goes on to say, he says, but take heart. Take heart because I have overcome the world. See, Jesus not only wanted to bring peace for you, but he also brings peace through you. There are people in our lives, in your lives at work, whose lives are broken. See, you have loved ones whose dreams, they've been shattered. And you have neighbors who have gone through tragedy and are trying to pick up the broken pieces of their lives. And certainly we live in a country that's broken by division, caused by fear and hatred. And the peace that God has for you is also is a peace that he wants to shine through you and through me. The song you hear playing in the background, it's the song, Oh Holy Night. And John Sullivan Dwight was the guy who loved this song so much that 170 years ago, he had it translated into English so we could sing it. Why? Because he understood it to be a song of peace. Dwight was an abolitionist. He hated slavery in the South, and he believed it to be so divisive and broken that he felt a call to let the peace of Christ be known through this song. He actually especially loved these words, chains shall be broken. For the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. And then goes on to say, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. And as we sing this song, let it inspire us that on this Christmas, whether it's the Christmas you want or the Christmas you got, comes the Christ and the God that we need. In fact, while we sing, I'm actually going to invite you to participate in communion. Each and every week, we take communion as a faith community to celebrate this Prince of Peace and how he conquered death and conquered sin so that we might have hope and healing. And so we invite anybody that wants to encounter Jesus to participate in communion. To my right and my left are the cups of juice, the pieces of bread that represent Jesus dying for us to give us hope and healing and a shalom, completeness and peace that we all need. And so does the city desperately. So we invite you to come forward. As you do that, there are baskets that have candles in them. I'm going to ask you to take those candles and hold on to those candles as we'll have an opportunity to sing together, Silent Night, O Holy Night, as we continue to worship. I'm going to invite you to come forward and participate in communion.